tells the taper to begin. My name is Laurie. I'm a compulsive overeater. This meeting is going to discuss steps 5 through 7, and we're going to find out that they all occur on the same day from the Big Book perspective, which is sort of a revolutionary concept because, you know, we're used to sort of each step as being almost exactly the same in terms of its importance. That's psychologically partly because AA has its AA 12 and 12, and each step, as discussed in the AA 12 and 12, takes about the same number of pages, and the same with ROA 12 and 12. Each step has about the same number of pages. So we think that they're about the same in terms of importance. But the Big Book is pretty clear that some steps are more important than others. And if you look at the history of AA, you'll see that there were originally, well, there's even a debate as to whether there were even 6 steps, but there were originally at 6 steps, at least in the New York contingent of AA, and in the Akron, Ohio contingent, there may not have been as many steps, depending on which historian you read. But that's not important. That's just for trivia experts like me. But there were originally just 6 steps. And they were based on very simple concepts. You admit defeat, step one. You get honest with yourself, step four. You get honest with another human being, step five. You make amends or restitution of the harms you've done, step nine. You follow whatever pathway you can get from a higher power, step 11. And you give of yourself without hope of reward or gain, step 12. And those were the key steps in the original way that the AAers practiced it for about 4 years until Bill Wilson began to write, 3 years until Bill Wilson began to write the draft of the Big Book, in which he created 12 steps, because the Big Book was designed as a do-it-yourself manual for people who did not have the benefit of any AAers in their where they lived. And so it was a do-it-yourself manual for someone who was by himself or herself to find a way of recovery. So Bill said, I had to set out these steps in such a way that there would be no loopholes. So all the intermediate steps, step 2, step 3, step 6, step 7, step 8, and those intermediate, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, that's 5. Yeah, that's right. 6 steps. No, I'm missing my note. I can't remember what it is, but I'll find it. That's ridiculous. I should know this a lot better than that. Oh, 10 and 10 were not the same and should not, and from a Big Book perspective, should probably not be treated the same. This is especially true when we get to steps 5 through 7. At least from my understanding of the Big Book, the way I've been taught, and, you know, As Joe and Charlie, the great AA speakers, say, if you find anything in the Big Book that says anything contrary to what I say, believe the Big Book, don't believe me. I think it's an inspired book. I think that even though I do not believe in a personal God, I do believe in inspiration. And I know that great poets and great thinkers, when they write a book, they have in mind the entire book when they write every sentence, so that the book has a consistency and a brilliance to it that you won't find in books written by people who are not inspired. And I know that from all the readings I've done in my life, and I think the Big Book is such an inspired book. I think it has a consistency that doesn't disclose itself that easily, but that you find the more you deal with it, the more you'll find that every sentence sort of has the essence of what this book is about. It's not perfectly written. It's not a perfect book, but my goodness, it's amazing. And as if those of you who are here, workshop earlier when I talked about step 4 and how the 4 character defects in the resentment form are dealt with now in the fear and the sex conduct form, something I just saw about 2 years ago. I didn't see that earlier. So I just keep discovering things in this book that just amaze me. Well, step 4, we've talked about isolating our character defects. And the Big Book says at the end of the chapter how it works, it says, if we've been thorough about thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. I'll just say I spent 6 years in the United States for my college and university education. And I had to get rid of some of my language, or people laughed at me. I used to say, I have been to the store, which is a Canadian pronunciation. And people laughed at me. Been, it's been, you know? I can't remember what else I used to say, but I had to get rid of some of my favorite words. Too bad. Anyway. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We've begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to straighten out the past if we can. That's the promise of step four. The Big Book lists promises at the end of many of the steps. And one of the things that you can find on the website that I told you about, this oabigbook.info, you'll find a checklist of promises after each step. And it's actually a very helpful checklist, because it will tell you whether or not you've completed that step. At least I use it that way. And I'll talk more about that when I get to step five, where there are specific promises made. And I have my own experience of not feeling those promises at the end of doing a step five. And the person who was sponsoring me at that time said, well, go back and do a step four, because you clearly haven't finished step five if you haven't felt these promises. So it's a good checklist. So the promise is that we've listed the people we've hurt and we're willing to straighten out the past if we can. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you're convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. If you have already made a decision, that's step three. Always when the Big Book talks about decision, that's step three. And an inventory of your grosser handicaps. And grosser means the crude ones, the big ones, not the little ones, but the big ones. You have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. Good, apt image for compulsive eaters. Just one other lesson that I learned from that, and that is, it's the big ones. I'm not fine-tuning this. I should just finish it and get it done. And my first sponsor told me that right off the bat. He said, just get it done. You're going to go on and do some more of these things. You'll be able to fine-tune it later on. You're getting rid of the big ones. So, fine, we've done our step four. Now, how do we feel about that? Now, I've spoken to some people who at the end of a step four have said, I feel awful about myself. I wanted to eat because I just felt I was such a wretched human being. What I see at the end of this kind of step four that I discussed in the earlier workshop is that we begin to see exactly what our path is to become better human beings. We realize that, first of all, we share a lot of character defects with the rest of the world, and step five will prove to us that we share the same character defects with at least the rest of us in OA. And we know what we could have done instead in order to become different people so as not to have those character defects. So I have generally left my step four with a feeling of real hope that I'm on a path to getting rid of those character defects. I can see clearly where I should be going. And that gives me actually a really good feeling and an urge to go forward. But where do I go? And that's what we're going to talk about with step five. Where do I go after I've done step four? Well, the Big Book, step 12 is admitted to ourselves, to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. And that's a very old concept, the concept of confession. And what the Big Book says is, first of all, why should you do it? They said, I find it kind of humorous, because they say, we will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first: if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking and will die. They don't give any other reasons. There are other reasons, but they don't give them. There's no need to give them. If you don't do this, you'll die. Bang. And if you don't think you'll die, then go back to step one and begin to realize that if you continue this path over and over again, you will die. And it will be that debilitating, awful death that overeaters suffer. It will not be sudden. Oh, it may be sudden. You may be lucky and just have a heart attack and die. But the chances are that if you continue to overeat, you will become gradually more and more debilitated, and you will be cutting yourself off, and things may be cut off from you that make you less and less able to enjoy your life. And you will become more of a charge upon other people. They will need to take care of you, and it will be awful. So if you don't think that going back to eating will cost you your life, go back to step one and figure out whether you can do it on your own. Because if you think you can do it on your own, you know what? Try it. And don't bother us in OA, because we don't need you. We're here for people who know they can't do it on their own. And I'll talk more about that when I get to step 12, because the big book is real tough. It's not that nice when it comes to talking to other people. Comes to carrying the message. At any rate, so the best reason first is we're going to die. And they give examples. They say people try to avoid this. They think they can acknowledge to themselves and to God is good enough. But it isn't. Until they tell someone else, the big book says on page 73, they took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost through egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Now, that the words all their life story sometimes scare people. And I want to tell you that the way I think the step five can be done is actually, I have never, since I've started to do it this way, had a step five that's longer than 4 hours. And I'll talk about that in just a little while. There's a wonderful discussion about how we are very much the actor, even though we are also the director. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he's revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed them. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories as far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He's under constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking. Yeah, maybe I'm more subtle than that. There are some things I did while eating that I'm very embarrassed about, but there's also a lot of other things. I have been under constant fear and tension, but it's not all what I've done. It's also what I felt. If people could see into my inner mind, they would, you know, what did they say? Don't roam around in your mind. What's the term? Pardon me? It's a bad neighborhood. Yeah, that kind of stuff. The things I've thought of doing are just disgusting. You know, I remember a science fiction short story years and years ago. It made such an impression on me. A telepathic person who can read people's minds, is alone and just is disgusted by the world. I mean, there's all these things going on, and he's lonely. And suddenly he feels a faint mind somewhere in the same city. And he realizes it's a woman, and my goodness, a relationship, he can actually find someone with whom he can be honest, and they get closer and closer, and as they get closer and closer, their minds begin to delve into the other person's minds, and they walk away completely nauseated by each other's inner thoughts. It's very powerful image, and it's probably very true. Clancy, the great AA speaker, I'm sure many of you have heard him. I'd love to have heard him in person. I've only heard tapes of him. He says that we always judge other people's outsides against our insides, and we always are bad as a result. We don't do as well. They look calm, cool, and collected, and we know we're not. And, of course, they're probably exactly the same. So I think it's a great image. And they say, you know, you've got to do it. So they actually give directions. Remember, since the big book was a set of do-it-yourself directions for people who didn't have AA around, they gave directions for finding a person to whom you could give your step five, to whom you could admit your character defects. And directions, you know, find a minister, find a priest, find a psychologist, anyone, a closed-mouthed understanding friend, someone who will listen to you sympathetically. We find out later on page, I don't have the book in which I have the cross references, but the chapter working with others. I know where it is. I'll find it. On page 96, we find let him know you're available if he wishes to make a decision. So make a decision again in step three, because step three should be taken with another human being, according to the big book. You're available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, which is step five. So if you are if you are an OA and you have an OA person available to tell your story to, of course, you can tell your story to the OAer. But the Big Book sets out certain criteria for the people who to whom you want to give your step five. It's right at the bottom of page 74. It's important he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we're driving at, that he will not try to change our plan. Those are the three criteria. And you'll find that within the 12-Step Fellowship, and I'm sure you'll find that within all the other people who are used to hearing Step 5. I don't think it matters much. I generally have found it helpful to do it with people in my program because I feel that they understand me in a way that other people don't. But I know that other people have given away their Step 5s to others and have found a great deal from them. So that's it. So what do? You make an appointment. And if I were you, and you're doing this for the first time, I would make an appointment before I finish my Step 4, because that would then push me into finishing my Step 4. You'll do it the night before anyway, so you might as well do it soon rather than later. Because once you finish Step 5, you'll be catapulted into Step 8 and 9. And you really have to be ready to do this and do this quickly. So what do? The Big Book's a set of instructions. Well, first of all, they say when we decide who's to hear our story, we waste no time, okay? So we waste no time. I mean, we're carrying all this stuff in us. We've got our Step 4 written, and we want to make sure we get rid of it before more resentments come up the pike, up the plank or the pike, whatever it's called. We want to make sure that we get rid of everything that's on our mind. And if we wait to do our Step 5 for a couple of months, we're going to have more resentments. We're going to have to redo our step, or not redo our step four, but add to our step four. So just get rid of it as quickly as you can, because you'll be able to get rid of the other resentments later on in step 10. So get rid of your step four right away. So you make an appointment. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for long talk. We explain to our partner what we're about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. And I do this. I mean, for me, it's a matter of rote, I guess. I mean, but I do that. I say, this is very important to me. And when I do with sponsees, I ask them to tell me why this is important for them, because this is a very solemn moment in our life. And it's something where we're actually sharing things that a lot of people don't know. So we want to be sure that it's really an important moment for us. And then the Big Book's set of instructions are completely vague. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. And that's it. And I don't have anything from the Big Book that tells me how to do that. You know, Dr. Bob, the co-founder of AA, used to do it like this. If you read, there's a story in there, the guy who set up AA in Chicago and other stories I've read about him. You know, he would say, all right, let's hear your inventory. Now, you've cheated on your wife, haven't you? Yes. You've stolen, haven't you, in order to get booze? Yes, Dr. Bob. You're a liar, a cheat, a thief, a stealer, a hypocrite, yes, Dr. Bob. And, you know, tell me about it. Okay, Dr. Bob. I say, tell you, that's enough. I've heard enough. You know, get on your knees and ask God to remove those defects of character. Yes, Dr. Bob. But I mean, Dr. Bob was one of the most charismatic people around, and he could do things that Bill Wilson, for instance, the other co-founder, could not do. You know, and you can read about Dr. Bob as being this guy that he was like a saint. And when he said, you've been a terrible person, you were a terrible person, and you felt it in your innermost being. So he's the kind of guy who could heal you within a day. And there are all kinds of, there's movements within AA, and I'm sure within OA as well, sort of a back to basic movement to talk about doing it the Dr. Bob way, bringing a bit more religion in and bringing in that sort of that very quick bang kind of stuff. And it works if you're in the right frame of mind for it, and if you've got someone taking you through it who has that charisma that Dr. Bob had. But Bill was writing a book for people who didn't have that. He was writing a practical book for people who had no one available. And so he set out a much more practical way of doing things. And I it works for me. And it certainly seems to work for others. So my suggestion is this. You have the forms that you filled out in step 4. the pieces of paper that you've written. Now, they may be the forms. I don't use the forms anymore. I just write them on a piece of paper because I sort of memorize the forms. And what have you got? You've got a resentment form in which you've listed the people, institutions, and principles you resent, and you folded it over, and on the other side of those people, institutions, and principles, you've got where you've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. If you opened it up, you'd have the column where you had written out why you resent these things, and you'd written out how they affect you. But that's really not what you're there for. You're here to shed light on the dark cranny of your past, not on theirs. It's not your turn to do their inventory. It's your turn to do your inventory and to share your character defects with the person you're meeting with. So I prefer to keep that closed. And I prefer to hear person, okay, my husband or my wife or my mother or Hitler or, you know, the guy who stubbed me at the party, here's where I've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened in relation to that person. And yeah, obviously you have to give some background. This is, you know, Nelda. Well, she's my sister and we haven't talked to each other for 20 years. Where I've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened is the following. And I must tell you, as someone who's heard a lot of Step 5s, we're all voyeuristic in our own way, right? We all want to sort of know the inner workings of other people. The good stuff is all in column 2. And I never get to hear that, you know? But that's the way it is. I mean, I want to hear where they've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. I mean, I remember people saying things. Oh, and then there was that incident at the bar. I won't get into that. That would be his inventory. What incident at the bar? But, you know, but I don't ask because it's not my business to know what they've put down. And so for those of you who are saying, well, I'll never be able to admit this little thing that this person did or anything, it's not that necessary because what's really important is that you share what your defective character is in relation to that person. So even though you may share some of it, and you may find it relatively easy to do that after a while, it's really your end of it that you're sharing and not what they've done to you. Okay, I think that's very important. Now, you may feel need to do that, but it's not. I don't think it's necessarily part of the Step 5. At any rate, that's what I think. But I've got to tell you, a lot of other people who use these forms have found it of some value to go through columns 2 and 3. So I'm not going to tell you that there's any right or wrong. There isn't a right or wrong because the big book doesn't have any specific directions for that. Although the big book does say we illuminate our twist of character and our dark crannies of the past. So clearly the emphasis has to be on that. And when I once took a Step 5 from a person who said, before I tell you about my defects of character, let me tell you about what my girlfriend did to me. There was the time in the movie theater, and there was this, and there was that. I've said, you know what? Go back and do the Step 4, and go back and say the prayer for her, and don't come back until you know where your defects of character are, because you can't figure out what your defects of character are unless you have put that behind you and are focusing on yourself. So you really have to focus on yourself. And then what do I do when I do this or when I have other people do it with me? They read the name. They give me a little bit of background so I understand what they're talking about. They tell me where they've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. Now, I always ask for feedback when I do it, and I ask them if they want me to give them feedback. Because there are a number of good reasons why we're doing this. The first is that we're actually sharing something. Oh, I said I'd give you the other reasons, not just that we'll die. The other reasons are this. First of all, we're actually sharing our deepest secrets. We're getting rid of the pit that we've dug for ourselves of the secrets that we're ashamed of, and we're sharing it with another human being. We're putting it on the table. We're getting rid of it. And that's, the confession is good for the soul. The second is we're finding out that we're not any different from anyone else. When we give this away to someone else, that person will obviously be saying, yes, I've been selfish, I've been dishonest, I've been self-seeking, I've been frightened. I have those same character defects, I've had them, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. And the third is that you get some feedback. Maybe you're too easy on yourself, and maybe you're too hard on yourself. And you're getting someone giving you some sort of sense. If you ask for this, I wouldn't have them do it unless you ask for it. I mean, if they start to meddle into your life, I did that once. My first Step 5 that I heard, I gave my own opinion. A guy said, well, then I did this, and I think, and I feel awful about it. And I said, what's wrong with that? And in those days, I didn't know how to do a step five very efficiently. So it took 10 hours over 2 days. On the second day, he came back. He said, listen, this is my inventory. It's not yours. I don't care what you think about. I don't care that you think that what I did wasn't wrong. I know what was wrong for me. Well, I learned a lot from that one. So I if you get feedback from a person, make sure you ask for it. If a person wants to give you feedback without it, I don't know. Unless that person is a Dr. Bob, from whom I would accept any feedback, I'm not so sure. But invite the feedback, because you're getting a sense of reality. And if this is your first time, you may not have figured out how to fill out the selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened areas. You may have figured out where you're selfish, you may have figured out where you're self-seeking, but you may not have realized where you're dishonest or where you're frightened. So ask for help on that, because generally speaking, I have hardly ever not filled out all four of those for every one of my resentments. Hardly ever. Rarely have I left a blank, because there's always a part of me that wants life to be different, selfish, that doesn't accept reality, dishonest, that thinks of my angle in it, self-seeking, and that has fear. So I asked them to share that with me. And, excuse me. I ask them, I don't say, well, you must be thinking this, but I say, you know, if I were in this situation, I might be feeling this. Does that make sense to you? Or, you know, as far as I can hear what you're saying, maybe what you're saying is this, or maybe this sounds better, or something like that. Like, I'm not telling them, because that's not my role. It's their role. But I'm giving them some feedback that allows them to judge where they themselves are. Sometimes my guesses are right and sometimes my guesses are wrong, but I think that they're generally helpful. I've done a lot of step fives with people, and I've heard a lot of step fives. They've all been solemn. They've all been wonderful. I remember, I'll talk about that later. I want to finish the step five part, and then I'll talk a bit about my experiences with them. But so that's the resentment form, and it doesn't take that long. You might have 60 pages. You might 60 pages of resentments, but they become relatively repetitive. You may have 7 friends you're mad at, and you'll find that once you've talked about one friend where you've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, that all the other, you just say, ditto, ditto, ditto. These are all the same. And you may find that for between your mother and your father. Or I have found that with my 2 children. I found that when I fill out one with one, that it's the same with the other. So it really takes a lot less time than you might think. It's not very repetitive. When it gets repetitive, you can just say, ditto. And you begin to see a pattern in how you're reacting to life. And it's very powerful, very, very powerful. And you're confessing this, that you are this flawed person, and another flawed person is saying to you, nothing new, nothing new. The fear form, I just have them read it through. What is your fear? Why do you have that fear? I say, to avoid repetition, I'm going to assume that you relied on your finite self and not infinite God, and I'm going to assume that it didn't work. I'm going to assume that you said the fear prayer. Now, what's your fear? Why do you have it? And what would God have you be? And very often, they don't know what God would have them be. I mean, if they're just starting off in this program, they don't have a sense of it. So I do give them not advice, but experience. This is what, you know, I've always had the similar feelings. I've always had the similar fears. I've never not found myself in the step fives I've heard, because we're basically the same. We're people who want things to be different, and they aren't different. I mean, we're the actors who want to be the directors. So I generally am able to sort of say, well, you know, I've had something similar, and what I found that God wanted me to be is this, this, and this. I don't know if that works for you, or, you know, and sometimes they say, no, that doesn't work for me, but you give me an idea that something else will work for me. And we contemplate. So now they're writing down in that thing a guide for dealing with their fears. And then the sex conduct form, similarly, you read it across. Whom have you hurt? Where have you been selfish, dishonest, and considerate? Did you arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? What should you have done instead? And you discuss that, and you get some feedback. It doesn't take a lot of time. I had a person with 60 pages of resentments. It took her 3 hours just to go through the resentments. And then not that much with the fears and the sex conduct. It was 4 hours. This was the person who said, she gave me a dollar when I walked in. I'm a lawyer, right? She says, you're on retainer, so anything I say to you is confidential. I said to her that the reason that I can keep a confidence is, one, that I am a lawyer. The other is that I forget what's said to me after about 2 weeks, because it's all the same. You know, Clancy has this wonderful talk where he talks about he's driving a car and some guy has a flashlight. It's in the dark. The rain is going. The windshield wipers are flapping back and forth. And he's driving the car. The guy's giving him the step five. And he's got a flashlight. He's reading. And then Clancy, I did this. And then I did this. And I did this. And Clancy says, you know, they don't know what we're thinking. I mean, I've heard all this before. And I think to myself, God, it's so boring. Can't I find a murderer somewhere? You know, it's pretty awful to think about. But I mean, it's true, because it is all the same. We are all the same. When you get down to those four character defects, we're all the same. And that's the brilliance, I think, of the step four that the big book has, is that it isolates only these four character defects. So you get them all out. And then the big book has these promises. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. First promise, are you delighted? We can look the world in the eye. Second promise, can you look the world, this is page 75. Can you look the world in the eye? We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Can you be alone at perfect peace and ease? Our fears fall from us. Have your fears fallen from you? And then there are the somewhat promises. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly, but it may not. We feel we're on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. That's the checklist. Do you feel that way after giving away your step five to another human being? And I can tell you that the first time I did this exactly this way, I was doing it with a guy who had been in AA for many, many years and had just joined OA, and we were sort of helping each other work this way. He was teaching me this way from his AA experience. And I was bringing in my OA experience, and we sort of combined to help each other. And he said to me, okay, are you delighted? Can you look the world in the eye? Can you be at perfect peace and ease? Have your fears fallen from you? I said, I don't know. I'm just too excited. I felt really good, and I don't know how I feel, but I'll phone you tomorrow and tell you. I phoned him tomorrow, and I said, no, you know, my fears have fallen from me. I don't feel delighted. I just don't feel that way. He said, well, then you missed something out in step four. Go back and do a step four. I said, I just gave you however many pages. I'm tired. He said, just go back. And I'm not sure that this time I did it, but I might well have written, because I finally burned, after 20 years, I finally burned all my step fours. It was a big pile. I might have written down saying, I resent the fact that I have to write this stupid step four form again. I might have done that. But lo and behold, I had 5 or 10 more resentments and no more sex conduct, but a few more fears had come out. So I wrote those down. I did a step five with him. Okay, are you delighted? Can you look the world in the eye? Can you be at perfect peace and ease? Have your fears fallen from you? I'm not sure, I said. I feel really good, but I'm just not sure. Phone him the next day? No. Go back, do another step four. This time I probably wrote down, I'm damned if I have to do another step four again. But, you know, and I had more resentments. Because, I mean, it's you know, the onion concept that you're keeping peeling skins off the onion, you're still finding more. So I did it a third time. This was over the space of about a month and a half. At the end of the third time, he asked me, and I said, I feel delighted. I can look the world in the eye. I can be a perfect peace. You know, I felt liberated. I mean, it was an amazing experience. So the first time I did it, I had to do it three times before I felt these. But the promises, if the promises aren't true for you, go back and do some more. Because, you know, I had a friend who said, there's no passion in this program. I'm not feeling passion in this program. I'm feeling like it's all repetition. I said, well, do a resentment list. So he did a resentment. He did step five with me. Are you delighted? No. Okay, go back and do another one. I resent the fact that I can't get any passion even after doing a step four and five. He did a study. He still didn't do it. I resent the fact that I resent the fact that I resent. You know, finally, he felt it. I mean, he finally got to it. And he felt delighted, and his sense of passion returned to him. because he had written down those resentments and worked through these three forms. So that's the admitting to another human being part of step five. Those are the promises. That's the checklist. We've already admitted to ourselves by doing the step four and talking to another human being. But we haven't, and I missed this for years, we haven't yet admitted to God. And the Big Book has a separate paragraph for admitting to God. That's the bottom, page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. So there's a prayer. God, thank you from the bottom of my heart that I know you better. And people who may be religious say, Lori, how can you say, God, thank you from the bottom of my heart that I know you better? Because my concept of God is very different from yours. No problem. Truth, love, justice, and beauty, I am thankful that I know you better. Because once I know them better, I know them better because I now see where my untruth and my lack of justice and my lack of love and my lack of sense of beauty have hurt my ability to live. So I'm glad I know them better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. And some of you may have heard me talk about the guy who developed these forms is a guy named Blaine D, who used to live in Winnipeg, an AA-er. The forms that I'm talking about, the step four forms. And it was his Big Book study that really helped me develop my own sense of how the Big Book applies to OA. A really brilliant guy. And he joked, I don't know how many of you know that there are Big Book thumpers and then there are Big Book literalists, just as there are sort of fundamentalists in every religion, you know. And the Big Book literalists, he said, I could make a fortune if I could create a step five Big Book shelf from which to take it down from. I could just tell, this is the shelf from which you take the book down, because it says right in here, taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page. Well, you need a shelf? Let me sell it to you. And it's true. I mean, I'm sure there are some people who put the book on a shelf so they can take it down. And I don't laugh at them, because I follow this book pretty literally, but I follow this kind of in the spirit, not quite that much. It says, carefully reading the first five proposals, so the first five steps, we ask if we have omitted anything. So there's another kind of prayer or meditation question. Have I omitted anything? And you wait a minute. So you review all that you have done for an hour. You review all the forms. You think about them. You thank God from the bottom of your heart that you know him better, it better, her better. And you ask if you've omitted anything. If you have, go back and do a bit more. You might just have to phone the person up and say, I forgot to tell you about this. If you haven't, then you're done. That's step five. And the Big Book says, carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we're building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skipped on the cement put in the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? People have tried to, and there's an image of an arch throughout this book. They talk about building an arch. First they build the foundation, then they build the structure, then they build they have the keystone, the one that keeps the arch from falling apart. And they're talking now about the building blocks that we use. On the webpage that I gave you, the oabigbook.info, there's actually someone who's actually developed the chart. It's a very nice picture of the arch with every reference to the parts of the Big Book that talk about the arch. But the whole image, at any rate, is have we got something solid? If we have, we turn the page. And the next page of the Big Book, page 76, if we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. Now, many people have commented on this, and they say, yeah, well, we have to be willing. Yes. I have never, let me ask anyone here who's used the forms, have you ever found yourself unwilling to have selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and fear removed from you? Huh? You haven't wanted that to be removed from you?
I've wanted it.
Yeah, well, you're willing to have it removed from you, right? At the end of the day, that's what you want. We read in our OA 12 and 12, which lists gossip as one of the defects of character, and I'm not calling it down, but we may want to hang on to some of our defects of character. Well, if you have 20 of them, you may want to hang on to two or three. But if you have only four and you see how they're permeating your entire life, you will probably want to get rid of all of them because they're killing you. And that's, again, the beauty of the big book approach, because it just brings you down to those four character defects. No more. All the other character defects that can possibly be listed come from those four. And so it's so much, I won't compare. I find it very deep. And I have found step six to be a breeze. I go, ugh. You know, this is what I used to be like. And remember, the fear form and the sex conduct form actually point out to me what I could be like, right? The resentment form and the first parts of the fear form and the sex conduct form show me what I was like. And the portions of the fear form that say, what would God have me be? And the portion of the sex conduct form, which is, what should I have done instead? Point out how I could be different. And boy, wouldn't I like to do that. In hindsight, wouldn't I like to learn from my mistakes? Wouldn't I like to overcome my fears? Wouldn't I like to be a different person who is now not selfish, not dishonest, not self-seeking, not frightened? So step six for me is fast. And that's what the big book has a paragraph on it. It wasn't in the first original six steps. But Bill thought it was very important at this moment in time for someone who didn't have an AA-er with him or her, to have someone say, okay, I'm ready. I'm willing. It's only willingness. We've emphasized willingness. That's all. I'm willing. I may not think it's going to happen, but I'm willing. That's all. And that's step six. And step seven is simply a prayer. Now, it's a powerful prayer. It's a great prayer. But step seven is simply a prayer to God to have your defects of character removed. Not all of them, actually, interesting enough, but to have some of them removed. So let's just, if you want to say it together, we can, those of you who know it. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Now, that prayer is really quite a brilliant prayer because, first of all, you're giving yourself up to your Creator, your deepest moral truths, your deepest feelings, your deepest beliefs. Second of all, you're saying, please remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. You may have some defects of character which don't stand in the way of your usefulness. And if so, then they're not going to be removed. I mean, part of what I do as I have a lot of trivial obsessions, some of which you'll never know about, but they don't harm my ability. And some of them I don't mind talking about, but they're ridiculous. I have an obsession with a certain kind of camera that I know more about than anyone should know. When they took out the fourth screw and only used three screws. And I have an obsession with the great Italian conductor Arturo Toscanini. I know everything about him. And my obsession gives me some joy and gives me some respite from other things that go on in my life. It doesn't harm any other people. But if I became I don't know if you ever saw the film Trekkies or Trekkers or whatever it's called, if I became the kind of person who was so obsessed with Star Trek that I started to dress in a Star Trek uniform when I went to work, I would say that was beginning to harm my usefulness to others, you know. Or if someone said, hello, how are you? And I said, let me tell you about Arturo Toscanini, which, by the way, that once happened to me. I wrote a review in a newspaper about a book about Toscanini. And I started off by saying, you know, he was a very obsessive man. I said his obsessions created obsessions among those people who love his music, the music that he conducted. I put in parentheses, don't ask me about him. I can clear a room in seconds. And a week after that publication appeared, I was at a party. And someone said, Laurie, I read that review of yours. Very nice review. Oh, really? I said. And this was a room where the food was and the drinks were. So it was pretty packed with people. Within a minute, the room was empty, including the guy who talked to me originally. I cleared him out because I started talking about Arturo. Anyway, that's my only point is that it doesn't interfere too much. If it started to, I'd have to deal with it, but it doesn't. So this prayer talks about usefulness, because we're going to find out as we go through this book that we are disabled people who cannot accept our problem. In the end, that is the obsession, isn't it? The obsession is that we don't have the physical allergy. That's the obsession, that we can somehow eat and control our eating and enjoy it. And we're disabled such that we cannot just relax. In order for us to keep alive, we have to grow and we have to be useful. And that is our disability. And it's a very wonderful disability, but it is our disability. We cannot stay put, because if we do, we'll go back to eating. And it's unfortunate and fortunate, however you want to look at it, but I can't do nothing, and that's not a double negative. Not that I can do anything, I just can't do nothing. I have to be active. And I have to help others, because if I start thinking about myself, I'm dead. And the more I, and that's what this thing. So that's the prayer. And it used to say in the original version of step seven, on the wall, it used to say, humbly on our knees, ask God to remove our shortcomings, everyone, or something like that. Sometimes I get on my knees and say the step seven prayer, even though there's no God that I believe in that to whom I'm praying. But it's just an aspect of humility that to me is important. But that's all it is, a prayer. That's all it is. And to emphasize that, right after step seven, it says, we have, when ready, we say something like this, they give the prayer, we have then completed step seven. That's it, the prayer is step seven. And then it says, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. So the big book keeps pushing us and says, God hasn't, you're not going to wait for, oh, I'm saved. You know, God has removed my defects of character. I'm now perfect. That doesn't happen. The big book says that your defects of character, in a sense, it says that your defects of character will not be removed until you actually set out and make amends for the harms that you've done. Because in making the amends, and I'll talk about this after lunch, the harms that you've done, when you make amends, you're able to say to another human being, or to say to yourself, if you can't say it to that human being, I am sorry for what I have done. I want to make up for it. God willing, I'm a different person who would not do that again. And the more you're able to say that, the more you're able to be reborn as another person, a person different from what you have done before. And that can mean all kinds of things. I mean, I'll talk about that this afternoon. But that ability to say that I am now a different person and I'm going to strive to continue to be that person, because it's a day-by-day thing. I could relapse so easily back into what I used to be like. That gives you this sense of change and allows you to have your defects of character removed. So you can see from a big book perspective, five leads right into six, leads right into seven the same day. And you should start making your list right away, because you're going to be making amends right away. And you can see that the longest it takes is step four, because you have to fill out the forms. That should take, that could be done in a day, although I wouldn't advise it. You could do it in a week. I wouldn't necessarily even advise that. But 2 or 3 weeks, you can be finished it. And unless you're in a coma, or you're taking care of, well, even if you're taking care of someone in a coma, you could be doing it. But you know what I'm saying? Unless you have a really good reason, the chances are you could be doing it in your, and it's your lifeline to sanity. So if you do your step four and finish it, and you do your step five quickly, then you're on to step eight right away. And I love that about the big book. It just gets into action. It's action that does it. Faith without works is dead. You don't wait for God to hit you in the head with a lack of defects of character and make you a good human being. You do the things that are necessary to make you a good human being. Okay? A quick question? I guess we... Okay, we'll end it here, and I'll see you at 2 o'clock. Thanks.